Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, May 25th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe joined the rest of Africa today in commemorating the formation of the Organization of African Unity, with Afrobarometer releasing a report indicating that most Africans want presidential term limits.
I think Africa Day, in calling it Africa Day, is absolutely a joke because there is nothing to celebrate.
The interim leader of the MDC renewal team, Sekai Holland, who resigned her position on Saturday, has denied reports that she quit over infighting between Party Secretary General Tendai Biti and Treasurer Elton Mangoma.
A curator is a very temporary job. You don't become a curator for a long period. It's just as clear as that. The Guardian's counsel was only given a very limited time period.
And Deputy Higher Education Minister Godfrey Gandawa has moved in to reassure the nation that government will not allow universities to hike fees to meet the salary demands of lecturers.
We have been urging our universities to try and generate revenue through research projects that they can run to generate revenue so that they can also contribute a portion of the salaries for employees, even operational costs.
As Zimbabwe joined the rest of Africa today in commemorating 52 years of the formation of the African Union, Pan-African research organization Afrobarometer released a report indicating that the majority of Africans support presidential term limits. The report says African leaders' efforts to extend their tenure runs contrary to citizens' wishes. According to the report, nearly 52,000 citizens of 34 countries interviewed said they support limiting presidential mandates to a maximum of 2 terms. Only Algerians want to give their presidents longer terms. Only 5 African countries observe Africa Day, celebrated on May 25th as a public holiday. Although there were no official gatherings today to mark the day in Zimbabwe, whose president is the current African Union and SADC chairman, there were some workshops in Bulawayo and Harare held to commemorate the day. Pan-Africanist Sabelo Svanda tells Studio 7 Africa Day is not worth celebrating because there's a lot that has to be done.
I think Africa Day, in calling it Africa Day, is absolutely a joke because there is nothing to celebrate. We are told that we are celebrating the independence of the continent because at its inception in 1963, on the 25th of May, when the Organization of African Unity was created, amongst the core issues and core objectives behind the creation of the OAU was the liberation of the continent. So by right, we should now be celebrating the fact that Africa is liberated, but it's not. That is why some of us are back to commemorating the day as Africa Liberation Day, as it was in the past, because it's an acknowledgement of the fact that Africa is not yet liberated. That's why we have to go back and talk the language of liberation. Otherwise, it means little or nothing. There is poverty all over the place. There are wars all over the place. People are landless. People don't have access to their natural resources. They don't have access to their mineral resources. And neocolonialism is still very much an issue that many Africans actually don't even want to talk about, because they know that a lot of our so-called leaders are still in the pay pocket of the colonialists.
That was Pan-Africanist Sabelo Svanda. He was speaking to Studio 7 on the line from Johannesburg, South Africa.
The interim leader of the MDC renewal team, Sekai Holland, who resigned her position on Saturday, has denied reports that she quit over infighting between Party Secretary General Tendai Biti and Treasurer Elton Mangoma. Ms. Holland says she resigned because her acting mandate had expired. She also resigned her membership of the renewal team. The former National Healing Corps minister in the power-sharing government says she is now focusing entirely on the peace program initiated by the ministry at the Midland State University in 2009. With the help of some Australians, the peace studies began enrolling students last year in August and took a second enrollment in February this year. Ms. Holland explains more.
A curator is a very temporary job. You don't become a curator for a long period. It's just as clear as that. The Guardian's Council was only given a very limited time period. There was never any thought that it would go beyond a certain time. I didn't say it was for 6 months, and I've really done much, much over that.
We hear of infighting between Mr. Biti and Mr. Mangoma. Could this be one of the reasons why you left?
No. Unfortunately, in Zimbabwe, because of the manner in which the armed struggle was waged, our political language does not go with the political practice, nor does it go into understanding how to advance the democratic process by developing democratic strategies to really pave the way forward. What's going on between the Secretary General and the Treasurer General, for me as a curator, was not a fight. It was really a failure of the society to understand that in any situation where people are trying to find the way forward, ideas come up which have to be discussed, and in sorting them out, we find the way forward. So I never saw what was going on between them as a fight. I saw it as a struggle to find the way for the renewal, to find the operationalization of the Mandela Declaration, which is the finest document I've read.
That was former MDC renewal team interim leader Sekai Holland on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from Harare.
Deputy High Education Minister Godfrey Gandawa has moved in to reassure the nation that government will not allow universities to hike fees to meet the salary demands of lecturers. This follows reports in the state-controlled Herald that the cash-strapped government is considering cutting off salaries for state universities or make them meet a certain percentage. A development students vow to resist as they claim it will lead to a hike in tuition fees. Government funds universities through grants and pays salaries of lecturers and other workers. It has been struggling to pay the universities, leading to crippling industrial action by university lecturers.
Government owes institutions of higher learning $61 million in cadetship fees, and $1 million has been set aside for this year's program. Zimbabwe has about 8 state universities. Gandawa tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the government wants universities to be more innovative.
You realize that we have had challenges due to fiscal space in paying salaries for and bonuses to the lecturers. But universities in other countries create or generate revenue through projects and research which they make. So we have been now urging our universities to also do the same and try and generate revenue through research projects that they can run to generate revenue so that they can also contribute a portion of the salaries for employees, even operational costs coming from their research and other projects that they might be running.
How about those who are now fearing that the universities might end up passing on the burden to the students and this will result in an increase in fees?
We are not encouraging universities to increase fees, as I have highlighted. There must be other funding mechanisms or strategies that universities should have. Universities are centers of excellence, and they should be researching and patenting projects or IPs. So this is what we are encouraging our universities to be innovative and at least generate revenue through
through other means, not fees. You realize other universities in other countries do not necessarily rely on fees as funding to run universities. So the fees should remain stable while we find other means and strategies to generate revenue.
A Deputy Higher Education Minister Godfrey Gandawa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
NUST Educators Association President Alois Muzuwe refused to comment on the development, saying they are yet to be consulted. Most students in Zimbabwe continue to face a number of challenges, ranging from high tuition fees to unavailability of proper accommodation facilities. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu also reached Zimbabwe National Students Union spokesman Avoid Masiraha, who says he doubts the universities will be able to generate any income.
The government is abdicating its duty, because it is the responsibility of the government to pay its workers. And if you remember well, for the past 10 years, the government has not been able to pay its own workers. So the impact of that particular arrangement will be that universities will hide tuition fees so that they can be able to pay their lecturers. And the burden will be more on the student and not only for the government itself. So we condemn that action, and we believe that the government must continue to pay its workers.
Are you going to engage the government about this issue?
Yes, we are simply going to do what we are used to do. We use three methods. The first one is to make sure that we engage the government, we negotiate, we present our case, and we tell them the impact of that particular move. And then if we don't agree, then we'll take action. And the action that we take will be to mobilize the students and to also conscientize the masses, including the parents themselves, so that they understand the meaning of that action to them. So we do all the things that are necessary, particularly in terms of negotiation. But if negotiation fails, then we'll go on to take action, demonstrations, and confront the government.
That was Avoid Masiraha, spokesman of the Zimbabwe National Students Union, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The National Vendors Union Zimbabwe says its members will resist any political attempts to remove them from the Harare Central Business District unless they are given alternative sites for selling their wares. Reacting to calls made by some members of parliament to have street vendors removed from the city centre where they have allegedly become a menace, the director of the union, Samuel Wadzai, says they are not happy with these remarks from people who are supposed to be to protect them. The lawmakers last week raised the issue, saying vendors are selling their wares in front of registered shops, a source of income for the cash-strapped government. Wadzai told Studio 7, members of parliament need to be reminded that there are no jobs in the country, and as a result, vending has become the only source of livelihood for most people.
It's really unfortunate. It's something that we don't expect from people we elected as citizens of this country to represent us. We expect them to be able to appreciate the dynamics in this country. What is very clear is that there are no jobs in this country, and naturally vending has become the option. We expect them as members of parliament to be supporting us. Then if they are calling for the removal of vendors from their operating environment at the moment without the creation of alternatives, it simply means that they don't know the reason why they were elected to become members of parliament. And it also shows us that the kindly bar of members of parliament that were elected are not well versed with what is happening on the ground. They don't care. They are insensitive.
Are you going to comply with any attempts to remove you from the Central Business District?
We will resist with the force similar to that of a hungry lion, if not a hungry pafata. We want to look after our families. And no man, one of a woman, can force another man to just look at his or her family dying of hunger. This government knows that they have failed to create employment for us as the vendors, for us as the youth, for us as graduates, and for us as the Zimbabweans in general. So they should just assist our initiative.
That was Samuel Wadzai, National Director of the National Vendors Union Zimbabwe, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Zimbabweans living with disabilities say the government is failing to cater for their needs.
And a closer look at Africa Day as Zimbabweans join the rest of the continent in commemorating the day.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
A former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert was sentenced today to 8 months in prison for accepting envelopes stuffed with hundreds of thousands of dollars from an American businessman a decade ago when he was Israel's trade and industry minister.
Flash floods from record rain in the central U.S. states of Texas and Oklahoma have left 3 people dead and washed away at least 400 homes.
A Tunisian soldier opened fire on his fellow troops Monday, killing 7 and wounding 10 before he was shot dead himself.
The Islamic State group is fortifying its ranks in the Iraqi city of Ramadi as military and paramilitary forces plan a counter-offensive to push back the front line in Anbar province.
President Barack Obama has laid a wreath at the tomb of the unknowns as part of his observance of the annual Memorial Day holiday in the United States.
The United Nations Security Council has condemned the killing of an opposition leader in Burundi, whose death has derailed efforts to resolve the country's crisis through UN-sponsored negotiations.
And Malaysia's police chief says 139 graves believed to contain the remains of migrants have been found near the country's border with Thailand, and that some graves contained more than one body.
As Zimbabwe joined the rest of Africa today in commemorating Africa Day, some local people say most African countries still face serious socio-economic problems that need to be resolved before they even think about unifying the whole continent. Some even question the ability of the current chairperson of African Union and Southern African Development Community, President Robert Mugabe, in uniting Africans as his nation is ravaged by some serious challenges. Our correspondent, Aurai Shawa, has more details from Bulawayo.
With an array of diverse natural resources found across its length and breadth, Africa is arguably the world's richest continent. But due to a variety of reasons, including natural disasters and violent conflicts, some nationals of a number of African countries are counted among the world's poorest. As the continent marks Africa Day, a day to remember and reflect on the founding in 1963 of the Organization of African Unity, now the African Union, some Zimbabweans wonder if African unity can ever be a reality. Others question African countries' ability to free themselves from the images of disease, war, hunger, and poverty that are often associated with them. Speaking in Bulawayo, in a series of discussions hosted by a non-governmental organization, Bulawayo Agenda, to observe Africa Day, the leader of one faction of the Movement for Democratic Change, Welshman Mule, said despite a checkered history that includes slavery, colonialism, as well as post-independence maladministration, Africans have to remain hopeful about the future, as not doing so would be equal to giving up on themselves. Mugabe said Africa's problems are mainly political as they are centered on a failure to appreciate the essence of democracy, but he was confident that these problems would end one day.
I remain optimistic that African people will eventually prevail and that we'll be able to build a brand of democracy which accepts the dignity and integrity of every individual.
John Gomo, a lecturer at Rhodes University in South Africa, who also participated in the same discussion, argued that it is difficult for some people to be optimistic about Africa's future as its problems have been persisting in spite of many global interventions to stop them.
What makes me rather pessimistic is the fact that there have been lots of efforts, initiatives at a global level whereby rights of minority groups have been pronounced. Yet, we continue to see these problems.
Some observers and Pan-Africanist pundits also say because of President Mugabe's strong Pan-Africanist ideals, you'll be able to make significant strides towards the unification of Africa. But Director Mary Dube of Lower Agenda does not share the same view. Dube thinks that Mr. Mugabe's age and his tainted human rights record do not show that he'll be able to unite Africans before handing over the AU and SADC chair to another president.
They say that charity begins at home. It is not a secret that Robert Mugabe has failed to unite Zimbabwe. A very small country like Zimbabwe, one of the smallest countries in Africa in terms of population and even diversity, part of what he has done is Kukurahundi, a genocide, as part of his human rights record.
In an informal survey in Zimbabwe's second largest city, Bulawayo, a local resident who only identified herself as Sheila said she believes in the ideal of African unity, but noted that she also remains worried about the violent conflicts that occur on the continent as they affect women and children the most.
Yes, we are represented, but our representation is limited. Our voice is not really heard. As it is, if you look at women who are dying giving birth, we look at women in the rural areas. Women are dying in rural areas in Africa because we don't have adequate hospitals or adequate care. They don't have information to know how they can take care of themselves. Look at the way we live generally. We are not given all the respect as African women.
Taxi driver Martin Gumbo, who celebrated Africa Day while at work, told Studio 7 that the idea of an Africa that is unified economically and politically is a noble one, as this could help ordinary people like him. Gumbo said a united Africa would result in strong economies as well as help bring about political stability across the continent. He said Africans should learn from the close-limit European Union bloc of nations and remember that they are the same people as you shared by a vendor who only identified herself as Mrs. Chiwaya. Chiwaya made reference to the xenophobic attacks in South Africa and said in order for African unity to be achieved, continental leaders must lead by example and pursue unity within their countries as well as across the continent.
Ivo vakabatana vakaratidza kuti vanowirirana. Isusu hakuna kuzopokana kwatingaita kuti aiwa ava ndeku Zimbabwe ava ndeku South.
If our leaders show that they are united, there's no way in which us, the ordinary citizens, can go against this and continue to single each other out, saying this one is Zimbabwean, this one is South African. Once there is unity, our leaders can then remove the requirement for visas to visit countries within Africa. This will make it easier for us to travel to other African countries to trade or buy various goods that may not be available in our own country.
Some observers and human rights defenders say despite President Mugabe's assumption of the AU and SADC chairmanship, Zimbabwe remains one of the countries in which the rights of citizens are violated as a result of a lack of respect for rule of law. With an estimated 65% of Africa's population being youth below the age of 35, some say Africa's future lies in its youth. 29-year-old Regis Munyoro of Lower Youth agrees, noting that youths must play an active role in helping shape Africa's future.
We as the youth need to take a more active role in politics, go into institutions that can support democracy, good governance within Africa. Then our leaders will follow the guidelines we have formulated for them to follow. I think it all begins with us. Ensure we have good governance, we have proper institutions, properly governed, ensure that the basis for good leadership can take shape from there.
Africa Day gives Africans an opportunity to reconnect and recommit themselves in supporting activities that are designed to develop a strong continent and a better world. Reporting for Studio 7 from Lawayo, this is Taurai Shala.
People living with disabilities in Zimbabwe say the government must take measures to ensure the respect of their social, economic and health rights is like in many other countries they are failing to cope under the current conditions. A recent survey by the Minister of Health, the National Survey on Disability and Health, found that 1 in 13 Zimbabweans has some form of disability. The survey, aimed at producing evidence to guide national policies, strategies, and action plans, also showed that 39% failed to proceed past grade 7 and only 18% reached Form 4. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to Masimba Kuchera, director of the Center for Disability and Development, on the challenges faced by people with disabilities. Kuchera says Zimbabwe has failed to adequately protect the rights of people living with disabilities and ensure their social welfare.
As you are aware, the facilities for people with disabilities are not readily available, and that makes it doubly difficult for someone with a disability to survive. So, for instance, we're having a lot of persons with disabilities going into vending and so on, with the challenges of the municipal police chasing after them and also taking their ways and making them to pay a lot of money, for instance. And the health of the people is also a bit of a problem because they are also having a situation where they can't afford health care, but they are also exposed like any other person.
The challenges that you are speaking of course, have been a problem for a very long time. What is being done to alleviate some of these challenges? Is the government engaging people living with disabilities adequately?
Well, basically, the problem that the government has is that of fiscal space to be able to assist. And that problem is partly because of their own making in terms of misprioritization, and also partly because the economy is not functioning well, which could also lay the screen on the door of the government in terms of labor.
Looking at some of these challenges that you spoke about on a day-to-day basis, would you say your organizations like yourself are having enough help?
Well, the organizations working with persons with disabilities are varied, and they work in various areas. But I can say that there is room for more assistance and help, both from outside and also from within. As you are aware, that most of that these organizations do are reliant on donor funding. There's very little private sector intervention and very little government intervention.
Looking at the issue of social welfare in Zimbabwe, how is that working? Are people living with disabilities still being given stipends to help them on their day-to-day lives?
No. The money that they're being given whenever funds were available, I think were $20 a month. But I am aware that for more than a year now, they have not been able to receive those funds. I think those funds ceased during the time that the inclusive government was available. The social welfare is atrocious, as well as that the legislation protecting persons with disabilities in this country is a bit of a problem. There's not been any political will to reform, for instance, the Disability Act of 1992, which has been seriously overtaken even. So you have a situation where a lot of persons with disabilities cannot be able to make a living for themselves, but the state is not able to help. As I said, they only cite economic challenges, but when you look at it, there are things that measures that the government can take which don't necessarily require money.
And Mr. Kuchera, what are those measures that you're speaking of?
Government could, with the private sector, get to an arrangement where persons with disabilities can be employed.
That was Mr. Masimba Kuchera, director of the Center for Disability and Development, speaking with Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with experts and listeners about Africa Day.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Now to recap today's top stories.
Zimbabwe joined the rest of Africa today in commemorating the formation of the Organization of African Unity, with Afrobarometer releasing a report indicating that most Africans want presidential term limits.
The interim leader of the MDC renewal team, Sekai Holland, who resigned her position on Saturday, has denied reports that she quit over infighting between Party Secretary General Tendai Biti and Treasurer Elton Mangoma.
Deputy Higher Education Minister Godfrey Gandawa has moved in to reassure the nation that government will not allow universities to hike fees to meet the salary demands of lecturers.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Kande wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night and a rest of the Africa Day. Good night.